Will you bow your heads with me as we approach the Lord? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this time that you have given to us to worship you. We have worshiped you in song and in prayer, in the written word. And now, Lord, we want to hear your voice, not my voice. We want to hear your message. So speak to us, Lord, for your children are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to imagine with me for a moment a young boy squirming in his chair at a wedding. That happens to young boys, doesn't it? He's been trying to be quiet. He's been sitting there. He's pulling on his collar and his tie, which he's certain is just going to choke him at any moment. And then he gets bored with the toy that mom and dad brought for him to help keep him quiet. So finally, he begins paying attention to the ceremony in front of him. He leans over to his mom and he asks, "Mom, why is the girl up there wearing white? Why is she all dressed in white?" So the mom answers and she says, "Well, son, that's because she's wearing white because she's so happy. This is the best day of her life and she's so excited, and so she's showing that by wearing white today." And so the boy thought about it a second and he said, "Oh, so why is the guy wearing black?" You got to be careful how you answer little ones' questions, don't you? Most grooms do wear black on their wedding day with some sort of accent color. Now, that accent color, I can think back and I remember my accent color was actually purple. That was what I wore on my wedding day. Do you know why I wore purple on that day? How do we grooms choose? How do we choose what our accent color is going to be? Do we agonize over this? We're looking through color schemes trying to figure out what should be the color that I wear on this special day. Let's do a little experiment here for a second. If you happen to have a married gentleman sitting next to you or somewhere near, just turn and find somebody and ask these guys if they remember. Let's see if they even remember what color they wore. Go ahead and take a moment. Just ask somebody nearby. Say, "Do you remember?" Take a moment. Go ahead and talk. Ladies, ask, what accent color did they wear? Okay, all right, we'll test the ladies here. Ladies, how many of them remembered? Raise your hand if they remembered the color. Look at that. There's a few. Have guys been planning and dreaming to wear that certain color all their lives? No. We're told to wear that color. And we do, gladly. I wore purple because it was and is my wife's favorite color. The reality of life is that many grooms on that special day end up wearing colors that maybe they don't typically wear in their normal wardrobes. So let's take a peek at a few of these grooms here. Here's a gentleman wearing a blue suit. Now that's not too different. He might do that at work sometimes. But here's a fella who was told that he was going to wear orange on his wedding day. And I'm sure he was happy to do that. Guys get to wear all sorts of colors on that day. In fact, there are some special men who even are able to wear what they've been longing to wear all their lives. Yes, on their wedding day, some guys have to wear pink. And they put it on. I'm sure that made his day complete, to wear the pink suit. Well, the wedding is an event and a symbol that we find present throughout the Bible. So this morning, as we finish this sermon series on discipleship, we're going to look at a wedding in the Bible. And I want you to notice this morning what color the groom wears. See, the Bible ends with the symbol of marriage as well. It's kind of present throughout, but then we find it at the very end as well. So if you'd open your Bibles with me to our scripture reading chapter, Revelation chapter 19, or turn your phones on, your pads on, and follow along with me. We're going to spend a majority of our time today in Revelation 19. And we're going to look at the symbol of the marriage. Revelation chapter 19, we're going to start in verse 9. It says, "Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Here in chapter 19, we have mention of a party that's going to happen at some point in time, the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's one of the parties in Revelation 19. There's another party in this chapter as well, and we find that in verse 17. Two very different parties. Verse 17 says, "Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, 'Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of all those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great.'" Two very different parties here in the same chapter in the Bible. And you can only go to one, not both. So which party do you want to go to? It's pretty simple. Now, I want to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, amen? But to be a part of that supper, to be a part of that event, you have to RSVP. You have to respond. Because there's only an invitation to be a part of it. God will not make you attend that day. But once we've responded to God's invitation to be saved, the Bible says that you and I become Christ's bride. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, Paul says, "For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Amen. Let's read about what this wedding day is going to be like when the bridegroom comes. Sticking here in chapter 19 now. Follow me down to verse 11. Let's read about this wedding day. "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Here in Revelation, we see yet another picture, another symbol of Jesus' second coming. And John pictures Jesus' coming like a cavalry charge from heaven, followed by angels on horses. Jesus is coming, and he's coming to get his bride. And when he comes, Jesus, as the bridegroom, wears red. Why? Have you seen many bridegrooms that wear red when you go to weddings? Maybe a few. Why does he wear red? Well, I don't know if red is Jesus' bride's favorite color, but I think it should be. Because the color that Jesus wears this day is critical. Because if Jesus doesn't wear red, if the bridegroom doesn't wear red that day, then the bride cannot wear white. And every bride wants to wear white. It's a symbol of purity and faithfulness of the lady's previous life. But after the wedding, most brides don't continue to wear white every day, do they? No, I look around here, you're wearing all different colors. But on that day, we wear white to show, the woman is showing that she is not just living a pure life in the past, but she is going to stay faithful and true to her husband always and forever. So the question is, can Jesus' bride wear white for this marriage supper with the Lamb? Now remember, friends, what Paul said earlier, we are the bride, amen? Does the bride deserve to wear white on her own? Has the church followed the Lamb and been faithful and true to the call to discipleship? Well, let me see if I can show you how this works. See, many times you may go over to someone's house, and if you stay there long enough, they'll break out photo albums. They'll start showing you pictures. And if you can handle that, they may even break out family home movies. And if you stay there long enough, they may even show you their wedding video. Well, this morning, to illustrate to you why Jesus wears red to the wedding, I thought I would show you a special day from our past, a video. And as we show this, I want you to watch and try to figure out why Jesus wears red. Now, as we watch this video, I want to make mention here that the audio in it is not perfect. It's happening at a church where it was their first day in this new sanctuary, so the sound guys are still figuring out. So if you hear a little blips and stuff, it's not our guy's fault, okay? It's just the recording. So watch with me this video, and let's see if we can figure out why Jesus will wear red.
And we're also going to have the first wedding. You didn't know that, did you? You came to the first wedding today, and I saw the groom somewhere. I know I saw. Oh, there he is, right there. The groom, Michael Hafhild. Well, let's have this wedding, and then we'll get into the rest of our service. Here comes the bride. Well, I thought we would stand like this so you can see this handsome couple as we share together in this most momentous time. But let me begin by just saying how happy we are, all of us, to be here this morning to witness this happy occasion with you.
Oh, I know. It's so exciting. I've waited for this day for so long, and she's such a beautiful bride.
Don't cry. It's no big deal. It's just a wedding.
I know, but I've waited for this day for so long, and I'm
focus,
just...
Michael. It's no big deal. It's just a wedding.
Okay.
It'll be over soon.
Okay.
We're ready, Pastor.
Okay, then. As I was saying, marriage is a wonderful institution ordained by God. It is His desire that a man and a woman find true happiness in this forever relationship.
Forever?
Yes, Jeanette. God wants this union to last forever.
Okay.
Yes. Forever. Oh, that's what I want. Yeah, Pastor, what's next?
Well, just let me continue. You have discovered in each other qualities that make your relationship special. Qualities which are necessary for love to grow and upon which you'll build this marriage.
Like how cute he is. He's so adorable.
Yes, Jeanette, Michael's adorable, but I'm talking about qualities that bring security and confidence to your commitment today. Like honesty, like dedication, compassion, sensitivity, patience, kindness, all of the qualities that speak well of character.
He's so cute.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Well, let's just get to the vows, okay? Would you please face each other and clasp hands? Now, Michael, you're going to be first, so repeat after me, okay? I, Michael, take you, Jeanette, to be my wedded wife. To have and to hold from this day forward. For richer or poor. In sickness or in health. To love and to cherish. Till death do us part. According to God's holy ordinance. Therefore, I pledge to you my never-ending love.
Therefore, I pledge to you my never-ending
Okay, Jeanette, it's your turn. Please repeat after me. I, Jeanette, take you, Michael, to be my wedded husband.
I, Jeanette, take you, Michael, to be my wedded husband.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
For better or worse?
Well, I like the better part, but the worst part, that's kind of scary. What's that?
Well, Jeanette, that means that life is uncertain. There may be difficulties ahead, some challenges, but don't worry. Your commitment and your love for each other will get you through, okay?
Okay.
All right, very good. Now, for richer or poor...
Richard, you're going to make a lot of money, right?
What? Well, yeah, I suppose so.
Okay, okay. For richer or poor?
All right. In sickness or in health?
Well, I'm a nurse, and
yeah,
it takes
know.
A lot of work to take care of a sick person. You are fit. You're not going to go get sick on me, are you? That's a lot to ask of somebody.
Well, I mean, I'm not planning on getting sick, but I mean, you never...
Okay, okay. You're going to stay healthy in sickness and in health.
All right. Can I have your attention? The next part of the vows, to love and to cherish till death do us part.
Whoa, 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 whoa. That's a long time. Isn't there a shorter version?
Well, Jeanette, I mean, yeah, it's a long time, but that's what we want. We want it to be a long time. You do love me, don't you?
Well, it's so long. But, oh, okay.
Okay, Jeanette, just one more thing, one more little thing, and I will pronounce you husband and wife, okay? According to God's holy ordinance, I pledge to you my everlasting love.
What's God's ordinance? What's that all about?
It means that it's according to God's plan. He wants us to honor our pledge of commitment forever. No one is ever to come between you and Michael.
What was that last part?
And to you, I pledge my everlasting love.
Now, that's what I'm talking about. Everlasting, that's such a long time. Is it? We can change that, can we? I just feel a little better if
no,
we change
Jeanette,
that.
No, Jeanette, love requires 100% of our hearts. There is no compromise.
Come on, Michael, we'll talk about this.
What? Wait a second.
We'll go talk to that Pastor Greg. He's
Who?
Younger. He'll be
what?
More understanding.
Well,
he won't make us do all this
wait.
Promising forever what? Stuff.
Well, wait a second. What just happened here?
Harry, I guess you can't win them all. And to think they are a pastoral couple right on this staff. Actually, those of us who know the Hatfields know they have a very good marriage and a wonderful family.
You didn't realize how much prayer we need in the Half Hill home. And hopefully you do know that Jeanette and I are happily married. We were playing roles that day. But most grooms would be a little nervous or maybe terrified to say their I do's if their bride was acting like that. And the Bible says that we are Christ's bride. How have we been behaving? Are we much different than Jeanette in the video? We're in love with the groom when everything's going great. But when things get rough, when hard times come, when life turns upside down, what do? Do we turn on each other? How's our love and devotion for Jesus, the bridegroom, when life's a mess? Well, this past month, we've been talking about discipleship and what Jesus calls to us. And he calls his bride to tell others about him. In Matthew 28, verse 19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of what? Of who? All nations." Christ calls his bride to be faithful and true to him completely. In Matthew 10, verse 38, Jesus says, "And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." How are we doing in responding to the bridegroom's call? Well, friends, when I look at my life, many times I think, there is no way that I could be wearing white standing before Jesus. But the clear message of the Bible is that the bridegroom is soon to come. Are we ready? Well, friends, on my real wedding day, that was not my real wedding day, just so you know, but on my real wedding day, Jeanette and I, like most couples, were busy. We were getting everything ready for the big ceremony. Jeanette had her dress on. She had done her makeup. Hair was done. She looked beautiful, stunning. I had my tux on and looked as good as I can pull off. The church was decorated. The guests had arrived. The music was set. The minister was ready. And it was time. It was actually about 5-10 minutes before the ceremony was to start. I was in the back of the church and I peeked downstairs just to see if everything was going okay. And I saw Jeanette, my bride at that moment, sitting down in a folding chair, which, gentlemen, is not easy to do in a wedding dress, just so you know. Everything had seemed to fall apart in the last 10 minutes before the wedding. Her pantyhose ripped. She got lipstick on the glove of her flower girl. The flower girl tore her dress, and then the bride had to use the restroom. And so she was sitting in the chair. And I remember thinking, she looks like she's going to pass out. I don't know if she's going to make it down the aisle. Then I thought, well, I hope she makes it. Because you see, I was told that at 4 o'clock straight up, I was to take the grandparents and the parents and go seat them. So you better believe that's what I was going to do at my time. So I wasn't able to help my bride be ready for the ceremony. She had to make it without me. Is that what Christ does with his bride? At the very end, when it looks like all things are falling apart, when it looks like the bride is going to fall down, does Jesus say, "Hope she makes it"? Does he expect her to make it on her own? Does he expect us to make it on our own? Does Christ expect the church to get ready for the wedding all by herself? Look with me again in Revelation chapter 19. And go back to verse 7, if you would. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." The Bible says that eventually the bride is ready for the groom to come. And that's good news, amen? That's why it says, let us rejoice. In the end, it's going to look like the bride's going to fall. It may look like she ain't going to make it. I wasn't real sure if Jeanette was going to make it down the aisle. I'm thankful she did. But you know, she didn't make it down the aisle to the wedding alone. She had help. Because that day, her father held her hand and walked her down the aisle and helped her to meet the groom. Christ's bride will be ready, amen? But how? Verse 8 says that it was granted to her to wear white, which is righteousness. Praise the Lord, Jesus' bride can wear white. But here's the best part. She can only wear white. She can only be ready because the groom wears red. Revelation chapter 19, verse 13 says, "And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood." Dipped in blood. Jesus is coming in chapter 19 to do two things. He's coming to destroy his enemies, and he's coming to get his bride. And the blood on his robe symbolizes both those things. Christ's bride, that's us. We can only wear white at the end of time because Jesus will wear red to the marriage supper of the Lamb. How do I know this? Turn with me back to Revelation chapter 12 now. It tells us why. Revelation chapter 12, we're going to look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven." I love the loud voices of Revelation. Read through this book and figure out whenever it says loud voice and really pay attention to it. This is a loud book. Said with a loud voice, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony." That's good news, friends. The bride, that's us, overcomes. We can wear white. We're righteous at the wedding because of the blood of the Lamb. Isaiah put it this way in chapter 1, verse 18. He said, "Though your skins are like scarlet." Do you feel like your skins are scarlet? "Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow." Praise God that Jesus wears red so that we can wear white. Because of Christ's shed blood, we are granted Christ's righteousness. Jesus calls us to be faithful disciples. He calls us to reach out to others and make disciples. And we want to. We want to be faithful and we want to make disciples of others. But sometimes, if we're honest, we live our lives and we sound a lot like Jeanette in the video as the crazy bride. When that happens, what then? Is there any hope? Is there any good news for us at the very end? Friends, the good news in the Bible is not just in bits and pieces. It's everywhere, all right? Amen? It's everywhere. It's even at the end. It's even in Revelation. It's even in the very last chapters. Jesus wears red because the Lamb was slain. And he did that so that we can overcome, so that we can be washed. Jesus makes us ready for the wedding. He died so that you and I can wear white and be his bride. And friends, he died for all the bride, amen? Not just some of the bride, not just here and there, but everyone, all of the bride he died for. Now, I can praise a God like that, can you? I can love a God like that, can you? I can live for a God like that. And I can give Jesus my all because he gave his all for me when he chose to wear red. Will you give your all to Jesus today? Will you give him your anger, your fear? Will you give him your doubt? Will you give him your pain? Because he can handle it. Will you give him your sin? And even more than that, will you give him the sins of those who've hurt you? Because he can forgive and he can heal. He can do these things because he wore red. Will you give Jesus your all today? Our gracious Lord Jesus, indeed, worthy is your name. And Lord, we long for that day when we can look up in the sky and see you coming. What a thrill that will be. But I look forward to that day, Lord, because I know when you come, you're going to wear red. And when I see you in red, Lord, I'm going to be able to look down and look at myself and all the rags of sin. They're going to be gone. And I'm somehow, by your grace and your grace alone, I'm going to be wearing white, and everyone here that believes in you and accepts you as the Lamb will be wearing white that day. We long for that day, Lord. Thank you for wearing red so that we can one day be with you and be your bride. But Lord, we're not going just yet, because there's more people out there who need to hear about Jesus, who need to hear about the groom who died for us. and the coming King who will wear red. So help us, Lord, to go forth from this place confident that someday we'll wear white because of you, and help us to go forth and tell others the bridegroom is coming soon and wearing red. In Jesus' name we pray. And all those willing to tell others said, amen. In Jesus' name, God bless you each and every one. Have a wonderful day and a happy Sabbath.